worshiping God from our heart, He's going to receive it. He's going to honor Him. He's going to come, and He's going to make His abode in this place and walk with us and talk with us and teach us and lead us and guide us. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father, for being here. Thank You for ever being so ever true to Your Word, Father, that Your Word declares that where two or three are gathered in Your name, You're there in the midst, Father. Thank You for always being true. Lord, help us to be as true to You as You are to us, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Help us, Father, to be as true to You as You are to us, Father, because, Lord, You're so true. You're a very present help in the time of trouble. You're a friend, Father, that sticks closer than a brother. I thank You, Father, that You're not just God, You're Abba God, You're Abba Father, Lord. I thank You that we don't have a high priest, Father, that hasn't been touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but Lord, You have been touched, Father. You felt the very weaknesses, the very pressures of life, Father, that we feel, Father. And Lord, we thank You for that, Father. We thank You for that, Father. Lord, I thank You that, Father, sometimes life comes at us like a tea pitcher on a hot stove letting off the steam, Father. It just comes and we're just whistled away. But Father, I thank You that You come to us, Lord, and You calm us and You calm our nerves, Father God. And You just give us the supernatural peace, Father God, and supernatural joy, Father God, and just a supernatural presence that You're ever near, Father God. It doesn't matter where you're at. When the Holy comes like this, it doesn't matter what you're facing, it makes it all that much easier. When you sense His presence and His hand upon your life, it makes it that much easier. Thank You, Father. Thank You for being
Jesus,
in this place.
Hallelujah. Thank You, Father.
I didn't go home and prepare for tonight. I didn't come to the portable prayer tonight. I went to Lake Park County Park and sat in the park and said, Lord, You're going to have to speak to me tonight because I'm going to give my pastor the night off because it's his birthday. And I didn't want to not have service tonight because we're not going to have it tomorrow evening, next Sunday night, because we're doing pastor appreciation. I didn't want to go three Sunday night services in a row of not having service because then we're going to be in a pattern and it's going to be hard to break. And we don't want that. We want to have Sunday night service. That's what's made us unique. That's what's made us different. We've got to keep that uniqueness and we've got to keep that difference. Y'all can be seated. Thank You, Father, for this evening. Well, the Holy Ghost is always ahead of me. And I love it that way. That's the best way for it to be. Is the Holy Ghost to be ahead of the minister. I want to talk to you tonight about, don't laugh at the sermon, don't laugh at the title, but it's okay. I want to talk to you tonight about the love blanket. The love blanket. It's important that we let the love blanket love us. It's important that we let the love blanket mold us and shape us on the foundation of love. Because our faith can't even work, my brother and sister, unless we have love. I know we hear a lot today about faith, faith, faith. But we need to hear more about love, love, love. Because if we have love, 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 our faith is going to work. It's no different than your car battery. You have a positive and you have a negative. If the positive isn't connected, your battery is not going to work. If your negative is not connected, it's not going to work. But if they're connected together, your car is going to go out there and it's going to turn over, it's going to crank up, and you're going to be able to go home. It's the same thing with love and faith. We can have all the faith we have in the world, but if we don't have love, our faith isn't going to work according to the Word of God. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want to talk about the love blanket. And I'm going to be reading from the King James and the Amplified. I just like it. I just like what the Amplified says, so bear with me. Turn with me, please, to the Book of John, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. We're going to talk about love today, and it's important that we get rooted and grounded in love, my brother and sister. Paul says, get rooted and grounded in love, and he was an apostle of the faith. He was an example. If we're going to look to anybody in this day and time that we live in, we need to look to the founders of this faith, to the founders of this gospel. We need to go back to the beginning and look and see what they taught and preached and led the other churches to teach and to preach in the 21st century. I need to get there myself. Excuse me, I'm rambling on. But in John 13, verse 34, 35 says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." I want to stop right there and pray. Father God, I want to thank you for this night. Father, we've heard this time and time again, Father, throughout the years, Father. But Father God, let it permeate us tonight, Father God. Let it prick our hearts like it's never pricked our hearts before, Father God. Let the word, Father, become alive tonight, Father God. Because, Lord, I believe that, Father God, if we can get this foundation, Father God, there's going to be a change in me, and there's going to be a change in every one of us, Father God. And, Lord, this is what you commanded us to do, Father God. And, Lord, help us to do what you've commanded us to do, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Didn't Christ love us? He loved us ultimately. But yet, here we are sometimes. We get impatient with one another. But Christ says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I. I'm glad he didn't say like I loved you, but as, because we can never love. I can never love Brother Doug like Christ loved Brother Doug. I can love him as, but I can never love him like. It's important that we understand that God is love. God has power, but he is love. It's important that we understand that faith worketh by love, and if God has power and God is love, then we need to go back to love and not worry so much about power and so much about faith, but we need to worry about love. We need to come back to the centerpiece of the gospel, which is love. That's why Christ came to this earth. John 3:16 is a centerpiece. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life." See, it all circumvents around love. This is a love gospel. This is the only religion that is a love religion. The other religions have a lot of rules and a lot of do's and a lot of don'ts. But Christianity is the only religion that is a love religion. It's the only religion where a man went and bled and died and hung on a tree and died for you and me. That is love. Greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. See, that's love. If somebody was to come in here, we need to have the type of love that I could take a bullet for Brother Doug, or I could take a bullet for Sister Pat, because we love one another. That's the type of love that Christ wants us to love with towards one another. Not a phileo, but an agape. And we've loved each other with phileo many a times. Many a times. We've all fallen short with that phileo love. But God wants us to bring us to that agape love one to another. That love where we're patient. That doesn't mean it's a love where we're going to be permissible and allow Brother Terry to go have an affair on his wife and say that it's okay, because that's not love. And besides that, Mom would shoot him with a 12 gauge and kill him. But besides that, that's not love. Love is going to the brother and say, you know, what you're doing is wrong. What you're doing is wrong. And doing it in a spirit of meekness and tenderness and love. I believe I talked the last time I ministered was, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I disagree with that terminology, because as God gave me the illustration, if we go out here on I-275 with two lug nuts on all four of our tires versus four lug nuts or five lug nuts, whatever your car has to have, and their lug nuts are loose, mind you, but it ain't broke, so we don't need to fix it, and we drive all the way home. Some of us live in Plant City. Some of us live in Land Lakes. I tend to believe that those tires are going to fall off eventually. You might not fall off on your way home, but the next time you go out, they might fall off. But it's not broke, so we don't need to fix it. We need to fix the love thing. We need to get off the faith thing and come back to the love thing. And I'm glad that we're in a church that preaches more on love than faith. And that's why we have faith, because God deals with us in love, and God wants us to love one another as Christ loved the church. Turn with me, please, to chapter 14. I'm trying to set a theme up here to get where God wants me to get, and I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, and it's hard. 14:23, Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. I want to stop right there, because when we think of the Holy Ghost, we think of power. We think of God's awesomeness. We think of God's glory. But I want to back up here, and it backs up here and it says, these things have I spoken unto you, yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, I said the love blanket. The Comforter is like a big booby, like a big blanket. Listen to me. Listen to me. Which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring the things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Jump back over to chapter 13, verses 33, 34, and 35. Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you. Didn't Jesus just say the whole Comforter will come and will teach you all things that I have taught you? Isn't it amazing that Jesus says, a new commandment I write unto you? I don't care what any other man, woman, boy, or girl has to say. I only care what the Father has to say. I only care what Jesus has to say. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. The Holy Spirit was given so that He could bring this back to our remembrance, that when we struggle with love, we could come back to John chapter 13 and 34, and we can read it. Some of it's in my Bible, it's in red letters, but all the Bible should be in red letters, if you ask my opinion, because it is the Word of God. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Christ loved us with an amazing love. Christ loved us with an eternal love. Sometimes we have a temporal love one for another. We get short with each other. We get quick with each other. But God wants us to have that eternal love, that if you're hurting, we know it. That if you're sick, we want to know about it so we can pray and see God deliver you and set you free. But isn't it amazing that Jesus said, I'm yet with you. The Comforter hasn't come yet. I'm still yet with you. He's going to bring those things that I've already taught you back to your remembrance. He's not yet ascended to the Father. He's risen from the dead, but He's not yet gone. He's still in His spiritual body. He doesn't have flesh and bones, is in His physical bodies, but He's not yet ascended to the Father. But He's telling His disciples that I've not yet gone, but the Comforter's coming. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have to say unto you. Listen to me, my brother and sister. It's very important that we get what Jesus has to say unto us, and not the most popular book today or the most popular teaching today, but what the man Christ Jesus had to say. Those words need to surpass every book that's out there on the market today. Every teaching that is going out in the church world today needs to line up with this. We need to come back to the Bible. We need to come back to the basics, and we need to come back to love with a broken heart and love. Say, you know, brother, I hear what you're saying. You're talking about faith, but my faith can't even work without love. So let's go back and learn about love so my faith can work. We've got faith in the forefront. We need to get it in the back, and we need to get love in the forefront, and we need to let love grow. Isn't it an amazing thing that when PTL fell and he was in prison, not any of the charismatic ministers went to see Jim Baker. Not one. Yes, he was disgraced. Yes, he sinned. Yes, he failed. But he was still God's man. He was a Saul of today, as David and Saul went through their things. Jim Baker was a Saul of today. The only difference is Jim didn't die. God can restore him. God can forgive him. And isn't it amazing that the grace man, Billy Graham, goes and sees him and hugs him and loves him? Because even though Billy Graham don't speak in tongues, he walks in love. Thank you for the amen. And it's quiet in here, and that's okay, because God wants us to get in the centerpiece of love. We've got to love one another with a love that surpasses emotions, that surpasses just speech. The Bible tells us not to love not in word only, but in action and in truth. It's important that we let the Comforter, it's important that we let the blanket of love teach us about love. If we haven't received that love, We can't give that love. And we've received that love, my brother and sister. And God wants us to give that love to a lost, damned, dying, and hurting world. It might be the Circle K worker. It might be the grocery store worker. It might be your heathen bosses. It might be somebody that you least expected, that you just show kindness to, and tenderness to, and long-suffering to, and patience to. Sometimes we go to a restaurant, and I have a thing about I like my drinks filled back up. I don't like them to get empty, and sometimes I think the Lord makes them empty on purpose to teach me a little bit of patience, and I base my tip on that. I'll just go ahead and confess. And they give me good service, they're going to get a good tip. They don't give me good service, I don't tip so well. And that's just something the Lord's been working on me with. But God wants us to let the Holy Spirit teach us about love. We can't go on to anything else until we can get this right. We've got to get this right. And we're going to struggle. We're going to make mistakes. But we've got to get this right. I was at work, and all of a sudden, I was filling my juice case at work, and all of a sudden, the love blanket dropped in my heart, and I said, "What the world is that, Lord?" And that's how I talk to God. I mean, I have a real good relationship with God. I mean, sometimes it gets critical when I get my bad attitudes, but I say, "Lord, what are you trying to tell me?" And I'm just working the love blanket, and a couple scriptures dropped in my heart, and I went to the lake park, and I'm looking them up, and I'm reading them, I'm looking them up, and I'm like, okay, I get what you're saying, Lord, I get what you're saying, and it really struck me when he says, "He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, but the Father would send me. These sayings have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you." He's yet present with him. So the Holy Spirit hasn't been given, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Jesus told the disciples some pretty amazing things. They didn't understand them. They didn't grasp them. But he told them some pretty awesome things. And when the Holy Spirit came, he reminded them. He taught them to him. And that's the same thing God wants the Holy Spirit to do to us. Is when we first got saved, those things that God taught us in the Word, God wants to bring those things back to our remembrance. Some of those things that people thought we were just crazy, God wants to bring those things back to your remembrance, because it was him. It wasn't just you. It wasn't just a creed. It was God speaking directly to you about your life and about your future. John 15:10. "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." Jesus calls us friends. So when you're at work and your day's crumbling on you, go back to John and say, "I've got to love that brother or sister in Christ that might have just wronged you, that might have just hurt you, that might have just stepped on your toe. You still got to love them. And I've still got to love them." And it's hard, because our flesh doesn't want to love, but our spirit does. That's exactly what Paul meant when he said the flesh warreth against the spirit and the spirit warreth against the flesh. When we go to love each other, we know exactly firsthand what Paul was talking about when our flesh wars against the spirit, because we don't always want to love. But we want to be loved. But we don't want to love. But we sure want that love. We want that mercy. We want that grace. Go please with me to Romans chapter 5. We want his love, but we sometimes don't want to reciprocate that love when people need it. Sometimes somebody might just need to hear you say, "I love you." You just never know what somebody's going through. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Listen to me, my brother and sister. We've got the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost has power, has given us power, but that's not what it's about. It's about the love God put in our hearts for a lost, damned, dying world and for each other. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. How many here have been baptized in the Holy Ghost? If we've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, then that love is shed abroad in our hearts. Then every time we don't yield to that love that's in our hearts, we grieve the very Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. Thank you for the amen. I know I'm kind of teaching tonight, but I've got to go with what God's Spirit told me to go with. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We're only saved through him. We're not saved by what we do, what we don't do. We're saved by him and his blood. We don't have a type of faith where we have to earn our salvation. But however, faith without works is dead, according to the Bible. Thank you for the amen. So we need to get our love exercised, so our faith will be exercised. We don't need to get our faith exercised. We need to back up and get our love muscle growing towards each other. We need to get our love muscle growing so our faith muscle will grow. That's like if I take out weights and I just work out this arm, and I don't work out this arm. This arm's going to grow and this arm's not. It's the same thing. We got faith so much in the forefront that love hasn't been able to grow in the body of Christ. And Christ wants it to grow so tremendously, because it's that love. It's that love towards one another that people know we're his disciples. When we go to work and there's another brother in Christ, and we go up and we greet each other with a hug or a handshake, and we're just happy to see one another, it's that love that witnesses to people without you even realizing it. It's that very love. It's that very love, my brother and sister, that just touches people without you even realizing it. I'm telling you, it touches people without you even realizing it. Romans 12:10 says this. Be kindly, I'm going to back up verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, and honoring, preferring one another. We've got to prefer each other. Prefer the brethren. That means if somebody else wants to serve communion, let them serve communion. Somebody else wants to mow the yard, have at it. You can mow the yard. Amen, brothers? Somebody else wants to prepare the portable? Hey, we prefer you to prepare the portable. We want people to come and help us work and grow. We don't understand why people haven't come and started things here. I still can't understand it this day, but I'm going to love. I'm going to love. I'm telling you, I'm committed to love you as Christ loved me. I'm going to love you by the grace of God, not in and of my strength, but by his amazing grace. That's the only way we can love each other, my brothers and sisters, by his amazing grace. Romans 13:8 says this. I haven't read the Amplified. I guess I'm not going to. It's okay. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. We haven't even fulfilled God's law until we love another human being with God's love, not with our love, but with the love that we received. What's that scripture say, my brother and sister? The man that goes out and finds a treasure, and he takes it and sells everything he has to go bury that treasure, and he takes that treasure and he goes and tells everybody about the treasure that he found. Why? Because he's got love in his heart. He just can't help it. What about the movie that we've all seen, that most of us have seen in here, about the man called Norman? Nobody would look at Norman. Nobody would touch Norman. But one person began to to grow a friendship with Norman and begin to talk to Norman. And before you know it, Norman began to get changed, and Norman was saved, and Norman was changed. But Norman was what we would call the stinky person in church, that would come to church dirty, that would come to church stinky, but he came to church. And are you willing to sit next to that bum that just walked off the street that stinks, that hasn't had a bath in 7 years, and they really, really stink? Are you willing to put your flesh aside and to put your senses aside and let the senses of God's Holy Spirit begin to flow through you out to a lost, damned, and dying soul? Because that's exactly what it's coming down to, my brother and sister. God's going to send us to the stinky and to the smelly. We were all stinky and smelly before we got saved. And my flesh still stinks. Romans 15:30 says this. We've got to let God's... Sister Kim, don't even get me started on you. Romans 15:30 says this. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. For Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit. The love of the Spirit. Are you going to love God's Word and the Holy Spirit more than your own self? It all comes back down to the basics. If any man wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. This is a selfless gospel. You cannot live for Jesus and be selfish. Thank you for the amen. Thank you for the amen. If you're going to live for Jesus, you're going to have to get yourself and myself out of the way. It's not always about dinner. It's not always about me. But it is about Jesus. It is about Jesus. It's all about Him and what He wants us to do. And He's talking pretty plain tonight and pretty clear. And He was giving me this. I said, man, God, you don't mince words. You don't let us off the hook, do you, Lord? And He doesn't let us off the hook because He loves us, because He has a plan and a purpose. If we could see the purpose a year from now, we'd be so amazed. I'm telling y'all, we'd be amazed. We'd be sitting there going, wow, look what God did. But I'm telling you, this is the foundation that God wants us to grow with, is love. We can't grow on any other foundation. That's what makes this church so unique, is we've got to build on that foundation of love. And that's the foundation that any church and every church should be built on. Thank you for the amen. You can build it on gifts of the Spirit. You can build it on seeker sensitive. You can build on anything you want to, but you mark my words. To the man that builds a church and he doesn't build it on love, the church will fall. Thank you for the amen. It'll fall. It can't be built. It may not fall completely, but it'll fall on a given time that God wants it to fall. It'll fall. Sometimes God allows churches to stay open because His sheep know His voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Thank you for the amen. You know, God doesn't just get rid of all the false teachers. Sometimes He leaves them out there to see who's going to follow who. See if you're going to be a stray sheep and follow the ungodly or follow the false teachings. His sheep know His voice, and a stranger they will not follow. I'm not following some of the teachings and doctrines out there that are out there today. I want to follow this. This is what I want to follow. I love my brethren. I pray that some of them get corrected, but I'm going to follow this. Let God be true. What's the scripture say? Let God be true and every man a liar, including this one. God's got to be the true. Our allegiance is to Him. We ain't aligned to no man or no denominations, but our allegiance is to Christ and to Christ alone. And if it's not, that's what it should be. Your allegiance should be to Christ and to Christ alone, not some teacher, preacher, prophet. It should be to Christ alone. Because even Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Even Jesus didn't put His trust in men because He knew what was in man. We need to listen to what our Master said. God knows there's an evil side to us. He lived in this thing. That's why we got to walk in love. That's why love covers a multitude of sins, because there is a love that covers a multitude of sins. I mean, look, we put up with dinner this long. No, I'm kidding, dinner. There is a love that covers a multitude of sins. There is a love that covers a multitude of sins. There is a love that if something's coming in, that God will not allow strange fire in the temple. There is a love. Love's not permissible. I'm not going to allow my daughter to go out and play with a rattlesnake. Love's not going to, I'm just not that type of dad that's just going to let her go out and play with drugs or anything like that. That's just me. I'm a little different. Maybe God wants to fix me and correct me. I don't know, but that's just not me. I'm going to do whatever I've got to do to take care of business. 2 Corinthians 6:6 says this: by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, I love this, by love, unfeigned. Let's read that again. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love, unfeigned. See, it's first it's pure. Then we have knowledge, long-suffering, kindness, by and through the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. True love. Not just love that says, oh yeah, I loved you. Did you see what he wore Sunday? My God in heaven. That's unfading love. That's exactly what that scripture means. Unfading. Boy, it's quiet in here. I bet y'all was shouting this morning, weren't you? Lord's got y'all's number tonight. I was probably shouting this morning, and I didn't even know it. I wasn't even here. But God is good. God don't give us these kind of sermons to beat us over the head. He does it because he loves us, because he wants to position us so that we can receive his favor and his blessing. But unless, if we're positioned here, and he wants us positioned here, we're not positioned where we need to be. So God has to get us positioned, and we have to be willing to allow God to position us here, so that we can receive God's blessing in God's faith. If you're here and you're wondering, well, you know, I've been praying about this and I've been praying about that, ask God if you're positioned correctly. He'll answer you. Sometimes it's not God that's the problem. Sometimes it's us. Ouch, that hurts. Galatians 5:13 says this: for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. There's a lot of love being talked around here tonight. You know, it's a couple weeks ago, God, the Spirit of God moved in love, and I think God's bringing us back to a refresher course. So sometimes we have a tendency to get off course and kind of like the children of Israel wander in the wilderness. Let's go around that mountain another 7 times. 40 years in the wilderness. I don't want to be 40 years in the wilderness. I want the wall to fall. I want the walls to fall. The walls that have stood in the way of this ministry for years, those walls are fixing to fall. Thank you for the amens. Those walls are fixing to fall. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says this: according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. See, we can be holy, we can be blameless, but if we ain't in love, God don't want us that way, because he wants us in love. God wants us in love. And I know y'all used to, Brother Sean, getting a little excited sometimes, but guess what? I got to go with the way the Spirit of God directs, and he's got me on hold tonight to kind of teach a little bit, and it's okay. I'm kind of liking it. I'm learning stuff myself. So this is for everybody. Give the pastor a tape. Glory be to God. I'm not ashamed. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 says this: that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. You know, we talk about being grounded in a lot of things, but we need to be rooted and grounded in love. Verse 18 says, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, for years, we've all wanted to get full of God. We can't even get the fullness of God without understanding God's love. For years, we've surpassed love and gone to fullness and gone to power, and God wants to bring us back after all these years and say, you know, church, you got to get back into love. You get back into love, you're going to have my fullness. Because I am love. I have power, but I am love. And it's important that we understand that it's God has power, as it says in 1 John, but He is love. It was love that held Him to that tree for you and me. It was that same love that has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that He wants to flow out to you, to me, and to a lost, damned, and dying world. It's that same love that was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Well, Brother Sean, I don't have that love. Yes, you do. You're being hornswoggled by the enemy. That love was put there the moment you were saved. And then when you were baptized with the Holy Ghost, that love is there just to love the unlovable. That love is there to love the unthinkable. That love is there to love the unworthy. That love is in you. God wants to bring it out of you God wants to bring it out of you so that we can touch a lost, damned, and dying world. That love is in you. That love is in me. And God wants to bring it out. Where was I? Very good. Thank you, ladies. And 19 says, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. I'm so glad God's love passes my knowledge. Because our knowledge is nasty. We can't fathom God's love for us. Yes, we can get a revelation, but even in that revelation, we're never going to understand fully about God's love until we get to heaven. And when we get to heaven, it's not going to be about the streets of gold, although I'm going to walk on them. But I want to go to the throne, and I want to lay my crown at His feet because He bled and He died for me. Ephesians 4 verse 2 says, with all lowliness, I'm going to go back up, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. See, that's the problem. We're not prisoners of Christ. We're prisoners of ourselves. I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There's one faith, there's one baptism, there's one God and Father above. God wants to bring us to the place that we're walking in love, that we speak the same thing, we have the same mind, and that we all get a mind to work. Because we got to work. We got to roll up our sleeves, and we're going to have to work. We're going to have to burp babies, change diapers, get phone calls late in the evening. Do you really want to see souls saved? Because that's what it's going to take. Getting that phone call at 1 o'clock in the morning when you know you've got to be up at 4 o'clock to be to work because a brother's in need and needs prayer that just came in and got off drugs, but he needs prayer because he's struggling. He's having withdrawals. Just because God delivers, sometimes God takes people through things. Annette, He delivered her instantly, and I believe in that. But sometimes people aren't willing to give up things, so it takes them longer. God has to take them through a process. I don't agree with that, but I've seen it happen. Because I believe in the supernatural, miraculous power of God, but I've seen God do it both ways. And I have seen God deliver, and I've seen God take people through a process. But they've got to be willing to give it all up for Jesus. Just like Peter, James, and John. Just like we are willing to give it all up for Jesus. I'm ready to quit my job. Revival starts happening. God may have me quit before revival starts happening if I know God. But if revival starts happening, I'm ready to quit. Just do whatever God wants us to do here in this place 24/7 so that we can see a mighty move of God's Spirit. But that's work. Revival is work, my brother and sister. It ain't just no no walk in the park. It ain't no glamorous. Not only is it work, some of us are going to have to slow down when we drive, myself included. Oh, yeah, because they'll watch us. Them news crews will put their cameras on us and have, I'm telling you, they did it to Brownsville when they had revival. Oh, yeah, they get real. The enemy wants to do everything he can to try to disrupt and corrupt what God is doing. That's why I believe God brought us back to love tonight, because next week's pastor appreciation, and God wants us to get some love this week. So I want you to go home and study on love. Get you a concordance, get your computer program, and study on love. You'll be, wow, you'll just be impressed with what God shows you and God teaches you, because God wants to teach us. God wants us to direct us, and the direction he wants to take us is through love, because there is no other foundation we can grow on, my brother and sister, unless it's love. We can have all the faith, but if we don't have love, it doesn't mean a hill of beans. What does the scripture say? If we can prophesy, but if we have not love, it's sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. And I believe a majority of the church world today is sounding brass and tinkling cymbals, because we don't have the love blanket like Christ wants us to have. That blanket that he just wraps you up in his love and loves you, and he releases you to go love someone else because he loved you and he loved me. Philippians 2:2 says this. I'm going to go back up to verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of accord of one mind. Oh, if we can achieve that, we're walking in love, because it's going to take work for that to happen. I'm going to have to put my differences aside and what I think should happen, and you're going to have to put your differences aside and what you think should be happening too. We need to stop worrying about what we think should happen and just let God let it happen. Just let it happen. God's going to do it. Just let him do it. Just let him do it. Hallelujah. Going to do it in his time and in his way, not my way or your way, but his way. Colossians 1:4 says this, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. Isn't it amazing? Remember when we all first got saved, we all loved one another. I mean, we just couldn't wait to be around each other. Now we walked with Jesus about 10 years. We can't wait to get away from each other. How times have changed. How God wants to bring us back together, and not so much apart from one another, but bring us back together like we were when we were first saved. Come on, y'all know I'm telling you the truth. Even though we don't like it, you know I'm telling you the truth. It's okay. God loves us. He wouldn't be telling us if he didn't love us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse, I'm giving a lot of scripture because I have to. It's in there. We need to hear it. We don't hear it enough on the TV and the radio, so we're going to hear it tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12 says this. I'm going to go to verse 11, I'm sorry. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love. Notice it didn't say increase in money or blessing or any spiritual gifts, but it said in love. That's amazing. You don't hear that today, do you? And toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Boy, that's amazing. I don't even remember reading that in the truck, but there it is. To increase you and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. God wants us to increase in love. See, we increase in love when we get that unity. God will command a blessing. We won't have to worry about anything because God will command the blessing. Too many churches and too many people try to command their own blessing. And therefore they wonder where the blessing is, because they're trying to command the blessing instead of lining up with God's word so God can command the blessing. See, we've got to line up with his word in his way so God can bless us. God will bless you. God will take care of you. But if he never blesses you, are you going to walk in love? That's a question you need to ask yourself. I like what Jude says in closing. I love the Bible. Love what God tells us. Sometimes it's sharp. Sometimes it hurts. But it's refreshing. This is positive. This is positive. Jude 21 says this, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Jude's not a real known, he's got one chapter here, but Jude says, didn't Jesus say the Comforter's coming? He's going to bring those things back to your remembrance and bring those things to you that I have taught you. Didn't Jesus say that this new commandment I write unto you, that you love one another? And here it is in Jude, after a couple years, a couple centuries, he says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing we're in the 21st century and we don't hear that today? Too many times, keep yourself in love. We want to keep ourselves in God's blessing. We want to keep ourselves in God's way of doing things, but we don't want to keep ourselves in God's love. My brother and sister, I submit unto you that if you keep yourself in God's love, God will bless you and God will take care of you because you're abiding in His love. You're letting His love flow out of your heart to your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you're reaching out to a lost world. God loved you with an eternal love. That eternal love lives inside of you, and God wants to bring it out of you. Would you please stand? God has power, but He is love. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for this evening. I thank you for your encouraging words, Father. I thank you that, Lord, I can love some more, Father. Lord, I ask that, Father God, you help us all to love as you loved us, Father God. Help us all, Father, to love each other and to walk in love as you desire us to walk in love, Father God. Lord, let this become the most loving church that the entire world has ever seen, Father God. Lord, let this church become the most loving church, Father God, that the Tampa Bay area has ever seen, Father God. In the name of Jesus. Doug, just give us something sweet.